Beauties, you are listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. I'm Jasmine Mobley. The Beauty of the Nile podcast is your space for skincare tips, makeup tricks, inspiration, and motivation, especially for and from women of color. We are here to celebrate and highlight our skin's beauty. Love your brown skin. Each episode features a different guest who will be dropping dimes that help you care for and highlight your skin. I'm excited to be here with you. Let's get started. Today, I'm here with board-certified dermatologist Dr. Tiffany Clay. Dr. Clay received her bachelor's degree in biology at Dillard University, where she graduated magna cum laude. She received her medical doctorate at Meharry Medical College and completed her dermatology residency at St. Louis University, where she served as chief resident. She's been living in Atlanta for over 20 years and deems herself a part-time foodie. She enjoys cooking and trying new cuisines. She's passionate about fitness and enjoys travel, as well as spending time with her husband and family. Dr. Clay, welcome to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. Dr. Clay, I'd love to hear what sparked your interest in dermatology.
Well, I kind of always wanted to be a doctor from a young age, and initially I thought I wanted to be an OBGYN. I remember watching this show called Baby Story, and it just showed OBGYNs delivering babies. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. I want to do that. You get to bring life into the world and see a baby. And then I realized, I don't want those hours. I don't want to be on call like that. I definitely wanted to still help people, but I wanted to do so in a way where my hours could be, you know, a little bit more flexible or a little bit more, not flexible, but maybe a little bit more set in stone and predictable, and where I would thankfully not have to be called and woken up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout my life, I experienced some minor skin conditions. And so that kind of introduced me to the field of dermatology, and my interest sparked from there, and looking into it, it seemed like something that was diverse, that would allow me to use my hands a lot, and kind of went from there.
I love that. That's a really good story. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. You kind of always knew you were interested in medicine and then were able to narrow it down from there. That's awesome. I'd love if you could talk about like the range of skin conditions that you see in your practice, and which of those kind of you tend to see most in women of color.
So, it's so varied. I see acne, eczema, psoriasis, cysts, skin cancer, hyperpigmentation, melasma, which is a form of hyperpigmentation. Warts, nail fungus, hair loss. Kind of a little bit of everything. If you think about dermatology, it encompasses everything pertaining to the care of hair, skin, and nail, or diseases that occur in those areas. So really a great deal of everything. Contact allergies, so something like poison ivy, I take care of that too. And my patients with skin of color, I would have to say the most common thing, and this will probably echo if you have other dermatologists on, like Dr. Hope, I think, said it. Hyperpigmentation or dark spots on the skin, that's got to be probably the number one complaint of my patients with skin of color.
Okay, interesting. And I know that there are a variety of things that can lead to hyperpigmentation. Are there any kind of like stressors that you commonly see that cause hyperpigmentation in skin of color?
I do. So I'd say probably most commonly it's from acne. And another very common skin concern that leads to hyperpigmentation or dark spots is having folliculitis or hair bumps. So women or even men who have, you know, hair on the face, those hairs can cause inflammation that may lead to a bump, and then that bump leads to a dark spot. And so those are kind of like the top two, I would say, that lead to dark spots or hyperpigmentation on the skin.
Okay, awesome. That's very helpful.
And so, you know, when we experience these skin conditions, obviously skin is something super important to a lot of people and often emotional. Can you talk about the impact that you see that skin can have on self-esteem for maybe patients you see or more broadly?
Yeah, I think definitely it completely impacts someone's self-esteem. It affects how not only someone feels about themselves, but how someone else portrays that person, you know, that they might focus on that or not take someone seriously or not think highly of someone just because of their appearance. And I dealt with that firsthand when I was in middle school. I had extremely mild acne. Like, you would have seen me and said I didn't have acne. I still remember to this day, the person who picked on me and said, you know, like, hey, you need to get that forehead cleared up. And it seemed like that stick with you. That was greater than 18 years old. That was about 20 years ago. So, you know, things like that really stick with you. And so my goal is always to, you know, tell patients that I understand, I'm empathetic to them, and that my goal is to work with them to get them better, because I don't feel like anyone should have to deal with anything like that.
Right.
Or, you know, having a self-esteem or even it causing mental health issues.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think it's great that you are able to empathize with patients who come to you. It's not like you've never had skin issues. And so, yeah, I think we can all relate to remembering something from long ago that stuck with us. Thank you for sharing that. So I know that you're really knowledgeable about psoriasis. Can you talk about how psoriasis can impact skin of color?
Yes. So psoriasis, I would say it impacts people with skin of color, probably in a way that's different from people who don't have skin of color. And that's just because, you know, there's a little bit more knowledge in, I would say, like the white community or with white patients. They'll say, oh, my grandfather had it or my dad has it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not as prevalent in our community. So we are not really knowledgeable about what it is and how it affects us. And so for that very reason, it can go on for ages, you know, before someone would come in and have it checked out. Now, psoriasis causes whitish, thick patches and plaques on the skin, and sometimes little bumps that look like almost like eczema. And it can affect the skin, it can affect the face, it can affect the ears, like the inside of the ear canal. I would say probably the worst place that I think it could really affect a black woman is when it's on the scalp, because not only is it on the scalp, but it's affecting your hair care practices. It's affecting, you know, how you feel about yourself. Women, we love to feel good about our hair, so it's important. And unfortunately, sometimes if it's bad enough, it can cause some hair shedding or some hair loss.
Oh, wow.
And so I think, you know, definitely for us, with our hair being our crown, we want to protect that and treat it and heal it and not have hair loss there. But I would say scalp, elbows, and knees are probably the top three places that it's found.
Okay, interesting. And is psoriasis in any way linked to hyperpigmentation or dark spots, or those other things we've talked about that we deal with?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, you know, we can clear up the psoriasis. There are great medications. A lot of them are injectables. And many of these, I have patients on them, and they are completely clear. So they go through their life, and they have psoriasis internally, but, you know, thankfully it's not on the skin. However, healing the hyperpigmentation or the dark spots after that inflammation has been on the skin, that can be another issue altogether.
Basically, you want to, and I think this is what you're saying, you want to treat the psoriasis first, and then, you know, the kind of ensuing hyperpigmentation is dealt with separately from that. That's great. Okay. So I'd love to hear, I know that you're really focused on making sure that patients are really equipped with the right knowledge to take care of their skin, so it's not like you're just dictating to them. How is it that you ensure that patients are knowledgeable about, you know, whatever skin issues they're facing and how they're going to solve them?
So typically, if it's a new patient or if someone is an established patient and has a new issue, my goal number one, my wheels are already turning in my brain about how to treat it. But the first thing I want to do for the patient is just give them as simple to understand as possible explanation of what it is, what it's called, and, you know, why it came up, if there is an explanation for why it's there. Also, giving these patients the website or additional information via handout so that they can, you know, actually have something to take home and have that literature with them. And sometimes, you know, they want to share it with their primary care doctor. They want to share it with their family members. So just making sure that they leave a little bit more enlightened about what's going on so that they don't feel like I'm just barking orders and they have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And I also find that if you empower someone with the knowledge of what they have and what their options are, that they tend to be more compliant if they know what's going on and how it'll benefit them.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. So basically keep it simple so we, you know, us regular people can understand, and then also actually give people, you know, literature or sources to go to, and so they can really understand it on their own as well.
Yes.
Right.
And sending them to Google is pretty scary.
I'm sure it's really scary for you with all the actual knowledge that you have as a professional, because, you know, Dr. Google, as they say, can be dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Google is probably my number one competition.
That's funny. Do you ever get, like, patients coming into you after they've Googled and telling you kind of, this is what's wrong with me, help?
All the time.
Wow. Wow. That's really funny. I wish I could say that's never been me, but honestly, it probably has. So I apologize on behalf of everyone who's done that.
You know, your mind is idle. You're probably curious, so.
Yeah. Let's just take a quick break here. Since you're listening, I want to make sure you have access to all of the great Beauty of the Nile content. Make sure you're subscribed to the Beauty of the Nile newsletter. Of course it's free. Just head on over to beautyofthenile.com. You'll find a form where you can subscribe. It's very quick and easy. You can do it now. We'll be right here when you get back. Enjoy!
There's never any harm in looking. I think the harm is when patients come in and they have a one-track mind that that's all it could be. Whereas me as the medical provider, I'm telling you what it is, and you kind of still are stuck on what you Googled. That's the issue. Not looking it up, you know, but not listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think that's the great thing about having you on and having all the, you know, skincare dermatologists and estheticians and experts that we have on this podcast, because then you know, you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth. You don't have to Google. You can just hear it directly from you and hopefully listen. So that's great. And I'm definitely listening to you guys and not Google. So don't worry.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Okay, I'd love to talk a little bit about, and you touched on this a bit, but, you know, your own personal skincare struggles. What are your biggest skincare struggles today, or maybe things you've struggled with in the past?
I would say today I am in my 30s. I still have acne. Thankfully, it's never been severe acne. It's always been mild. It's always been something that I can control with a topical cream and not need anything more serious. But I definitely, you know, feel for those patients who have several pimples, because if I get one, for me, it feels like the end of the world.
End of the world,
especially if it hurts, you know, it's painful. And then I have patients who have dozens on their face. So definitely just mild acne for me, but it definitely helps me to relate to people a little bit more and to treat them a little bit more aggressively than, you know, they may have had in the past. And another thing that sometimes I feel like patients come in and they're like, gosh, she has that too. Like my nurses are probably listening like, oh, she has that too. Oh, she has it too. Another thing, which is actually fairly common, is called hyperhidrosis. And this is, this means excessive sweating in certain areas of the body that occurs outside of exercise and being warm and being overworked. So it just happens no matter what. And I have to get that in my underarms. Some people get it on their hands. Some people get it on the soles of their feet. And I've gotten it in my underarms since I was probably in my teens, that I was, you know, my armpits on my shirts would get really wet sometimes. But I never really knew that this was a medical condition until I became a dermatologist.
Right. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty common. Yeah. I think I know a few people who have dealt with that before. So is it something that's pretty common, or is it just I happen to know people who've dealt with it?
No, it is. It's fairly common. And they, thankfully, there are really great treatments. There are topicals and injections and also actually procedures that help it. So lots of options.
Okay. And so what are your, you know, you talked about struggling with, you know, pop-ups of acne here and there. How do you kind of maintain or try to avoid, you know, those breakouts? What's in your routine that you do?
In my routine since I was about 18, I have always used a vitamin A, technically known as retinoid.
Mm-hmm.
So things that people might know as a Restin A or tretinoin, Differin gel, things that, mm-hmm. that are in that family of topical medications.
Right.
Typically, those have helped to keep my acne in check. You know, every now and then you'll get a pimple that kind of pops up and surprises you. But
right.
for the most part, that's helped keep my skin clear. And thankfully, those medications double as treatment and prevention of hyperpigmentation. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's double duty so that if I do get a dark spot, which is very common after getting a pimple, that
right.
I fade away a lot faster.
Okay, awesome. So
and,
kind of two birds with one stone.
Exactly. And then outside of that, just, you know, cleansing my skin twice daily, not using anything too harsh. I thankfully learned in my 20s to not use too harsh of exfoliants and things of that nature because they could scratch the surface of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And sunscreen, which I will be honest, I'm a sunscreen crazy lady, so I'm always preaching to everyone and anyone who will listen that they must wear sunscreen every day.
Right.
But I did not start wearing sunscreen every day until I was a dermatologist. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm judging them because they haven't done it.
Right.
I'm just spreading the word so everybody can start before me and be better than I was.
You're right. Absolutely. Just paying it forward. And I've heard a lot of benefits of, I am converted, so I'm a sunscreen wearer, but are there any particular things that you'd want to share with people about why, especially as women of color, it's important for them to wear sunscreen or sun protection?
Absolutely. So, of course, you know, as Black women, we think we have built-in sun protection, which we do to a little extent. But having, you know, darker skin and having melanin doesn't mean that, well, everyone has melanin. Having larger melanocytes
mm-hmm.
and more melanin in our cells is not necessarily protective. So we want to wear sunscreen every day to keep our skin healthier looking and to keep it having a healthy glow, because if you get ultraviolet exposure, your skin
mm-hmm.
can turn a little bit darker. It
mm.
can contribute to an uneven complexion.
Mm.
If you are more prone to getting dark spots or to getting acne, it can make that worse day by day if you're not protecting your skin. And then also, no one wants to age any faster than they are. And
right.
although, you know, we always say black don't crack, but, you know, we get some fine lines here and there. We can get some wrinkles.
Right.
We are not excluded from the aging process. So that's going to help our skin to kind of combat the breakdown of our collagen, which causes
mm.
fine lines and wrinkles and things of that nature. So the things that are we want to protect from is not just the sun rays. Some people
mm-hmm.
say, well, I work inside and, you know, I just drove to the grocery store really quickly. Well, you were in your car, you
mm-hmm.
walked to the grocery store, you know, the windows of your car allowing ultraviolet exposure in, and now everyone's working from home. But
right.
unfortunately, your telephone screen and your computer, all of those
mm-hmm.
blue light devices are also breaking down your collagen,
mm.
contributing to hyperpigmentation. So it's like, find one that you love and just wear that thing every day.
Right. It sounds like it's everywhere and there is no escaping it. And honestly, hearing you and, you know, the more research I've done over time, like there's no good reason not to be wearing sunscreen, frankly. So only positives,
exactly.
It sounds like. Okay, so now I want to ask you a little bit more about yourself, kind of on a personal level. What have been your biggest accomplishments and why?
I say my biggest accomplishment has been becoming a dermatologist. I come from a family where I don't have any other medical doctors in my family. I never, unfortunately, had at the age where I was in high school or
mm-hmm.
or college, I didn't have any mentors that were physicians that I could talk to and ask for guidance. And neither of my parents completed college even.
Mm.
So just, you know, making it through and completing undergrad and medical school, and then thankfully becoming getting my dream job as a dermatologist is major to me.
Yeah, that means it is major, and it's major for, I think, people to be able to see you and have you as a resource. So I'm glad you accomplished that as well. That's amazing. It's really, and I think it's great also to hear that it wasn't just like this path laid out in front of you that you kind of had navigated on your own. And I think that's awesome. Next question for you is, what does being a woman of color and having skin of color mean to you?
It means, I think it's powerful. Black women are beautiful. We're smart. We are leaders. We are fearless. We are everything. I feel like I am everything. So, as a black woman, I'm proud of who I am. I don't think if I could wake up tomorrow as someone else, I would choose to be anyone else, except for me as a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm thankful to be who I am and to be a leader and to hopefully serve as a role model to people to show them that, you know, black women can be successful. Black women can be fun. We can be, you know, educated. We can be successful. So,
yeah.
Guys, women.
I think I agree 100%, and I think that's very powerful and well said. So you described a lot of things in your life, and I know we talked about this a little bit before. Things that you've accomplished have been really remarkable, frankly. So I'm sure there were times along the way that were maybe challenging or you really had to push through things. So what were some words of wisdom that you lived by maybe during those tough times or even just regularly today?
A big one for me is never let them see you sweat. So never let them see you sweat, which just kind of speaks to my demeanor overall. Mm-hmm. I have always tried to just display that I have control over myself and control of my emotions despite what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say for everyone that is always healthy because sometimes you feel like you're bottling things up. But just, you know, just trying to keep my cool and make sure that I am acting respectfully and that I, no matter if I'm angry inside or, you know, if I want to go off on someone, that I just display a little bit more of a casual demeanor.
Yeah.
And to be more professional.
Yeah. I think that's really good. Is that something that you've always thought about or something that you developed kind of over time, or what caused that?
I don't know. I think I've always, and I don't think I'm like that anymore, but like growing up, I was pretty much pretty quiet. You know, I wasn't the person that spoke up in class or, you know, that was very vocally outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of, you know, laying back in the cut, watching what's going on and responding to whatever, you know, was going on, in a less aggressive kind of way, I guess. So that's just kind of always been how I am.
Right.
To analyze things first.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to be, and sounds like something that you were like this and you've kind of carried it through and identified it as a powerful tool, which I think it totally is. I think that's great.
Yeah. And it helps if you're terrified, because there have been times that I've been afraid.
Okay, this is another, and it's somewhat related, but what's one big thing, and it can be personal or professional, that you've learned that you wish you'd known before you started on your journey? And that can be, again, like your life journey, your professional journey, whatever you want to do with that.
I think what I've learned is to not be afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have been times in the past where not necessarily being too proud, but maybe being afraid or not even knowing that I should ask for help, that I missed opportunities, or, you know, that there were times when I could have asked someone to mentor me or for someone to put me into contact with someone else, and that those are just missed opportunities. And a lot of my journey of becoming a dermatologist was done mostly alone, you know. Towards the end of the road, I had some mentors who helped me and kind of said, well, you know, you need to do this differently. But this was like, I was already towards the end of medical school when this happened. Whereas, you know, in college, I could have spoken out more and, kind of reached out more to my professors and things of that nature. So definitely, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions, I think is something that I've learned along
yeah.
the way.
I think that's a really, really good one. Thank you for being so open about that, like things you didn't know when you were starting.
Yeah. Someone else probably needs that advice.
Right, right. Yes, I think people will value that. So my last question for you, what does being a part of the Beauty of the Nile community mean to you?
I think it is an honor to be a part of this this platform, you know, to be asked to come here and speak and to lead and educate is just, I'm honored to do so. And just to be on this platform as a Black woman and sharing and to have a collaborative space, I think is extremely powerful. I think we need more of our voices to be heard this way. And so I'm excited to be a part of it. And I thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for, yes, thank you for being a part of it and for what you said there. And I'm so glad, like you said, to have women like you who are so educated, you know, on this topic of skincare and loving your skin to be able to really teach. You teach me and everybody listening, so that's why I wanted to have this community. So thank you. I'm so happy to have you, and you taught me a lot today, and I'm sure everyone else listening. So just thank you. Thank you so much.
So welcome.
I had a fantastic time with this conversation today. I loved hearing about Dr. Clay's journey to dermatology, and particularly enjoyed hearing about how certain skin conditions actually affect skin of color differently. It's so important for us to be aware of this information. I'm excited to continue to elevate our voices and highlight the knowledge and experiences of women of color. I know I learned a lot of great info today that I'll put into practice right away. Hope you will too.
This is Jasmine Mobley, and you've been listening to the Beauty of the Nile podcast. Beauty of the Nile is your space for skin tips, makeup tricks, inspiration, and motivation. We are here to celebrate and highlight our skin's beauty. Say it with me. Love your brown skin. Be sure you catch the next episode's amazing guests who will be dropping gems. For fabulous beauty inspiration, especially for brown skin, get our free newsletter subscription at beautyofthenile.com. We cannot wait to connect and share with you. Until next time, enjoy life.